Open your Bible up today, if you would, to Mark chapter 5, one of my most favorite chapters in the entire Bible. It's so fun. Mark chapter 5 is one of those great chapters where it just inspires you and encourages you and it trains you. I want to encourage you to read the Word. It'll be up on the screen, but if you don't have a Bible, you come up afterwards. I'll give you a Bible. Write in it, underline it, mark in it, get something that is yours so you can have it and that you can study from it and read on a regular basis. Mark chapter 5, I'm going to read in a moment in verse 21, but I just want to set the stage up just a little bit for you. This is such an exciting chapter. I don't know many of you have read this before, but this is one of those, I was taught years ago when I first come to know the Lord that Mark is an action book. And this chapter is an action chapter. Jesus comes to a place called the Gadarenes and he meets an individual who the Bible says was demon possessed. The Bible says the man threw himself against stones, cut himself. Cutting is not a 21st century thing. It happened in the days of Jesus. He was cutting himself. He was hurting himself. Everybody was afraid of him. People stayed away from him. And Jesus, he walks up to him. And he begins to speak to the demonic, evil spirit that was trying to destroy the man. And he said, "Who are you?" And the spirit said, "We're legion, we're many." And he cast him out of the man into a herd of pigs. And the pigs went into the water. They ran over the hill into the water. Phenomenal story. People begin to talk about what had happened. And the Bible says that Jesus got back in the boat, he crossed over again to another side. And the scripture says that when Jesus had again crossed over by boat, I'm reading in verse 21 out of the New International Version and in the book of Mark. When Jesus crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him. And while he was at the lake, one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him. And this is what he was asking. He says, "Jesus, my little daughter, she's not just sick. She doesn't have just an issue. But the Bible says she's dying." I can't imagine a more heart-wrenching experience. And then Jairus, this Jewish synagogue leader, says to Jesus, "Please come. Put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." And then the scripture says Jesus went with him. Let me just give you four little thoughts about this portion of Mark chapter 5. The first thought is that we need to have a desperation to get to Jesus. If you just come to the Lord when it's convenient or when you've got time to, nothing changes in your life. Not just when things go bad either, but every day of your life. The Bible says that Jairus went to him. And the Bible says that Jairus knew that the only help that he could get for his daughter and for his family was to get Jesus to his family. We must have this sense of urgency in our lives. And not only when trouble comes, not only when we're plagued with an issue in our lives like Jairus was in his family, but all the time, have the sense of urgency that, "God, I need you. I need your help." I want to encourage you. Go to bed at night praying. Wake up in the morning praying. Keep Jesus on your heart 24/7, every moment of your day, so that he's never too far from where you are. I love this quote I read by Tim Keller. He says, "You don't really know Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have." Man, that's powerful. Let me say it again. You don't know Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you had. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You'll seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all of your heart." Not just a part, all. James 5:16 says, "The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." Have a desperation for the Lord. And Jesus is calling you and I not just to wait until we get into a difficult situation, but come to him with a heart of desperation. God, I need you today. I need you to lead me and guide me. Lord, as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, as a brother, as a friend, I need you, God, in my life. Speak your word to me, Lord, and your servant will hear. And this is the story takes an unusual twist to it. And we read the story at different intervals. And we see this next portion of this chapter, and sometimes we leave out the fact that it's inserted in the midst of somebody who is in trouble, who is in great need. In verse 24, when Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house, the Bible says a large crowd followed and pressed him, and a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, who had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all the money she had, And instead of getting better, she got worse. And the Bible says, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and she touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. And immediately her bleeding stopped. You guys have heard this story before. And if you haven't, this is one of the most incredible stories in the Bible. There's such a dichotomy here with the woman with the issue of blood and Jairus, his daughter. Here, Jairus wanted Jesus to come to his house. But here, the woman with the issue of blood, she met Jesus on the street. And the reality of it is that when you meet Jesus in public, he gives you an answer in public. When you meet him in private, he will answer you in private. Neither one is better, but I'm just telling you that when you come to him, he's going to touch you and he's going to change the dilemma that of the circumstance that you're in. And the scripture says Jesus kept looking around to see who had come close. And the woman, knowing that what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. And he said to her, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Man, what a story. What an incredible story. But meanwhile, Jairus' daughter had died. Verse 35 says that when Jesus was speaking with some of the people and came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and said, your daughter has died. She's dead. And they said, why bother to teach her anymore? Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, don't be afraid, but believe. And he did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. What a horrific situation to take place. That Jairus had gone to find Jesus, and Jesus had agreed to come with him. And as Jesus is going, someone else comes along and butts in front of him and begins to get the blessing that he thought he was deserving of first. And can you imagine what this dad felt like? I want to encourage someone today to be committed to staying with the Lord no matter what happens in your life, even if it doesn't look good. This dad, I can't imagine, was he angry? He had to be heartbroken. He was a human being. Or maybe he was jealous because somebody got what they needed before he got what he needed. Has anybody ever else felt like that? That you were in a situation and you saw and you have been pleading with God and praying and literally begging God to do something. And all of a sudden you saw somebody else get what they had need of before you got it. And it just torched you off and it just torched you to the fact you were mad. And okay, Jesus, if you're going to do that, then I'm not going to serve you anymore. But I want to encourage you today that you and I need to stay committed to the Lord no matter what. When they said, your daughter is dead, Jesus said, ignore it. Don't be afraid, but just believe. And sometimes you get a slew of bad news. You have to stay and allow the difficulty to produce something wonderful in your life. Trials, heartache, tribulation, difficulty comes, and I don't like it, and I'm not telling you to just, when hard times come, just sit there and say, oh, thank you, Lord, for the torment that's coming in my life right now. But I am here to tell you that sometimes when you think everything is falling apart, actually sometimes things are falling into place. Did you hear that today? That you may be thinking things are falling apart in your life, but maybe God is using that to bring you to a place that he can do something powerful in your life. Sometimes maybe you get sick to find out you need to change the way that you're doing things. Sometimes you wind up and you wake up in jail and you find out, I can't live like that anymore. And it takes something falling apart for something to fall in place. Come on, don't amen me now in this place. When things aren't going the way you thought, you got to stand there. You got to believe. You got to continue to stay committed to the Lord, because you don't know what He's working on behind the scenes. Romans 8:28. We know that all things will work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. And it may not happen the way you think it should, or the way you've planned it that it should, but if you'll stay committed to the Lord, He's going to make something work out great for you in the end. And no matter how old I get, and I'm not that old, amen? Praise God, you're sharp. No matter how old I get, and when things sometimes don't go exactly the way I think they should or hope they should, I still get that twinge in me that I wonder, what is going on? But you have to come to the place that even though you feel like that, you're going to stay committed to follow God no matter what. You have to do that. And then it goes on to verse 38, that when he came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing aloud. And he went in and he said to them, why is all this commotion? Why is all this wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. And they laughed at him. And I wonder, and I'm so amazed at how the difference of people's emotion. And if you read history at all, you know that that was part of a Jewish tradition. They would literally hire people to come in and cry and wail. And so here these people are, they're in this house, they're wailing and they're crying. And when Jesus comes in and said, she's not dead, she's just asleep, they turn from their laughing, from their crying, and they go immediately to their laughing. I just find that so amazing. I used to see that with the kids, and I see it once in a while with the grandkids. They'll be tired, they'll be crying over something, and you'll go up there and you go, oh, look at a little baby, and they'll go from And that's what was happening here. They begin to laugh at him, and after he put them out, because you can't have sometimes the nonsense going on in your house when God wants to do a miracle there. Sometimes you got to stand up and say, you're out of here, baby. Get out. I'm not going to have that in the house of God. And your house should be the house of God. He put him out and he took the child's father and the mother and the disciples who were with him, and he went over to the child. He took her hand, and this is what he said. He says, Talitha kaum, which means little girl, get up. And the Bible says that immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around, and she was about 12 years old. And they were all astonished. They were all shocked. You got to continue to stay with the Lord, because if you don't, you're going to miss what He does. And then you have to be ready to receive Jesus in your home. Come on, brothers and sisters. You have to create the atmosphere. Remember what I talked about last week is having an atmosphere for God to do something great in. To let Jesus work in your home. To invite Him. I want to encourage every husband, every father, every man of the house. Open up your door when you go home today and say, Jesus, come on in. Just come on in. Come on in and look around. If you see something that you don't like, point it out to me. Because if you don't like it, I'm not going to like it. Because I want your blessing. I want your spirit. I want your leading in my house all the time. And when you do that, He will say, I think you should get rid of that, get rid of that, get rid of that, get rid of that. What is in your house that is hindering a move of God in your life? He is everywhere, but God does not manifest His presence everywhere. If you have things in the most intimate place in your life, in your home, that grieve the Holy Spirit, I knew I wouldn't get a lot of amens on that. The Bible says in verse 38, when he came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion, people crying and wailing, and he went in the house. Jesus wants to go home with many of us today. He wants to come in. He doesn't want to just be outside the door and be there ready. Well, I guess I'll go to church today. Are you going to come with me, Jesus? Oh, I'm in trouble today. God, are you going to come with me? No, he wants to come in. He wants to go in the door of your house and come right in your home where you live and hang out with you and see how it is that you live. Went in, he said to them, she's not dead, she's just asleep. We need him to come into our houses and to receive him into our home. Joshua 24 says, for me, as for me and my house, come on, men, we will serve the Lord more than anything else. We will. Transformation, blessing, favor begins in your home. Your home is one of the most intimate places, and you have been given dominion over it, and it needs to have an atmosphere in your home where Jesus can come in and do what he wants to do. Don't let the enemy steal your destiny by having junk and stuff and unbelief in your house. Get rid of it and let Jesus come in to your house today. Oh, come on. I just feel like dancing a little bit up here. Instead of allowing the enemy to have a foothold in your house, evict him. Say no more. And make a place for God to inhabit. I'm telling you, you need to go to your house sometime. You might find some stuff. I remember we were married for 3-4 years. I had a drawer. Any of you guys have a drawer from when you had all kinds of stuff? I had a drawer. It was my stuff from growing up and from my teenage years. And I just kept it in that drawer. I came home. I didn't even know it. I opened it up one day and my drawer was empty. What happened? My wife, she came along. We'd been married, I don't know, a couple of years. She came along. I go, what happened to the stuff in my drawer? I threw it out. You what? I threw it out. I knew right then and there that there was going to be a battle in my house. I said, why'd you do that? She said, because you had things in that drawer that weren't going to be a blessing to our family and our marriage. The man of God and the man of my house that I was, I stood up to her and I said, okay. Amen. Come on. Clap your hands for that today. Wives, I release you to go into your husband's drawer and clean it out. All you guys are amening me now. I want to hear you amen next week when you come back. Clean out that junk and begin to start something new in your life. Start some new traditions in your life. Begin with some new priorities in your life. Start with some new experiences in your life. I'm so proud. You know, my son Ryan, he has devoted his life to go on a vacation every year to take some time off. You know, when I was growing up, we went on maybe, when I was a kid, maybe 1 or 2 vacations. And I'm telling you, it was pure hell. I wouldn't go on a vacation. It took me years and years to think about going away. And we took our kids away a few times, not many times. But I want to encourage you that when you let God in your home, he'll help you begin with new traditions and new things that will be a blessing into your home and into your family's life. And you don't have to live the way you were brought up at one time. You can start something brand new and begin to see the glory of God just come into your house and do something great. Amen. And lastly, Verse 41 and 42, he took the little girl by the hand. You have to allow Jesus to speak over your life and over your home and those who are in it. He took that little girl by the hand and he spoke to her. He says, Talitha kaum, girl, get up. Do you know when you let Jesus in your home, he begins to become a part of your home, a part of your life and of your family. And the words that you speak now, they carry with them the power of God's Holy Spirit. When you lay your hands on your children and on your family and bless them, that carries the authority behind all of heaven onto your family and onto your kids. I was telling Dan Huntington yesterday, he and Dan and Stacy are going to have a baby in just a couple weeks. And I said, pray over that. Well, I prayed over our children when they were babies in the crib. I'd lay my hands on them, God. I pray favor and a blessing of God over them. I pray a hedge of protection around them, no evil to come near their dwelling. I pray, God, that you would give these children a godly mother and father that would serve you with all of their heart, with a passion to see the world change. I pray that over my kids. And you, when Jesus comes and lives in your home, he will not only speak good words over you and your family, but you also will begin to speak life and hope and destiny and future and blessing and favor over everyone that walks through your doors. Come on today. Come on. Do you believe that? Come on. Do you believe that? I want all those who are going to help with communion, I want you to come down right now. I just believe God is going to do something even right now while we partake of communion together. If you've never given your heart to Christ, today, now is the moment of your life that you need to do that. You need to give your heart to Christ. You need to say, Jesus, forgive me of all of my sin. Don't let this be a dead, empty ritual to you today. Because this is a moment in time. And when all these that are going on the L.A. trip are passing out the bread and the cup today. Isn't that beautiful? Can you give them another big God bless you today? I want you to hold the bread, hold the cup till everyone is served, and we'll partake together. But you can give if you've never given your heart to Christ, do that right now. Do that. Say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I want to live for you. You're here today and there's a struggle in your life. Maybe you're backslidden. Maybe you've known the Lord and you're cold. You haven't let him in your house. You've allowed other things to come into your home. God wants to help you in that today. You can move past where you are right now. You can begin to have a desperation for God. You don't have to wait until calamity comes to your house to begin to serve him and to begin to love him. You can do it right now. You can do it today. You can make that choice in your heart and in your life today by saying yes to him. God, have your way in my life. When you receive the cup and the bread, hold it. We'll all partake together. And if they miss you, just wave at them. Say, hey, don't forget me. We don't want to miss anyone this morning. This is such a beautiful time in the house of the Lord. Once you receive the cup and the bread, just close your eyes and just begin to focus on him. Think about his goodness. Think about his plan for your life. Think about how he saved you, how he changed your life. Think about where you were when he found you. We give you glory. We give you praise, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rufus, just play that song, Anointing, again. Let's let that anointing fall again. Anointing. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Let that be your prayer today. Say, anointing, oh, let it fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost, let it fall on me. Did not receive, put up your hand now so somebody can see. I want to make sure that everyone who desires to participate receives. Thank you, Lord God. Everybody receive. Desires. Anyone that you were missed. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for your grace, for your great plan. Jesus, the very night he was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it, he blessed it, he gave thanks. Close your eyes. He's in that beautiful upper room. He looked at his disciples. He said, "This is my body. I'm giving it for you. It's broken." His body was broken. He said, "As often as you eat this bread, you remember what I've done for you." Let's all take the bread, the body of the Lord Jesus, and partake together. Let's partake. Thank you, God. Anointing fall on me. The same way he took the cup, he said, "This is my blood, new covenant." That was shed for each and every one. Pay a penalty for the sin that you and I have committed, the ones that we did, the ones that we don't even know we're going to do yet. He said, "This blood has covered them all." John, when he was baptizing in the Jordan, saw Jesus approaching, and he stood and he looked at him and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." Thank you, God. The Bible says that while you were yet sinners, Christ, he died for you. 2,000 years ago, he hung on a cross. He was beaten. He was scourged. Every drop of his blood, with it, he paid for your sin and mine. He paid a debt he did not owe, and you and I owed a debt we could not pay. And he says, "As often as you drink this," Isaiah, 700 years before, said he was bruised for our iniquities. He was wounded. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. Today, I believe in a miracle for somebody's life who is sick in their body. Miracle of healing to happen. He took the cup. He said, "This is my blood. Remember what I have done when you drink it." Let's partake of the cup of the Lord Jesus together. Hallelujah. Mighty God. Prayer team, come on down at the altar. I'm going to dismiss. If you need prayer for anything else before you leave, these incredible people will stand with you and pray with you and believe God for something powerful to happen in and over your life today. We worship you, God. If you gave your heart, if you asked Christ to come into your life, I want you to come down and tell him. If that was you who was experiencing thoughts of suicide, I want you to come and tell him. Let somebody agree with you. They won't repeat it to anyone else. If you just need some help to get over a tough spot in your life, they're here to pray and agree with you. Father, I thank you today for your help, for your love, for your life. I thank you, God, for what you've done here today. I thank you, Lord, for the team that you're sending tomorrow on a plane. I pray that hedge of protection over them, for you to do them good all the days that they're there. I pray blessing on this beautiful people here today, Lord. May you bring encouragement, life, help, and hope to everyone, I pray today in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. I love you. God bless you. Go in his grace. Oh, hug somebody before you leave today. Let them know you love them.